Follow the White Rabbit is a game that will teach you practical politics. Practical politics is called practical politics because it is non-voting, which makes it very, very practical. Conventional politics is, of course, rule-based politics, which is what you do at the voting booth. It's very, very rule-based and timeline-based, you know, every 4 years, every 2 years, so on and so forth. And full-spectrum practical politics is engaging and taking out an opponent or a system or a corporation, so on and so forth, by any means necessary under the rules or under the laws, but never breaking the rules or never breaking the laws. But to understand anything, we first have to teach you practical politics, which is non-voting politics. The first basics are the art of staying on point or using a talking point and being able to say it over and over again to make your point, not arguing, just making a point. But this is an introduction again to Follow the White Rabbit, and Follow the White Rabbit is a game that will teach you practical politics. In my first Follow the White Rabbit, I did several anomalies. Several blatantly obvious anomalies. I mentioned police officers several different times. I mentioned squad cars. I mentioned lone wolves. Everything was geared toward males. If any of that scared you, and you're a male, well, you're probably in a consensus trance. If you're an FBI agent or a police officer and it terrified you, this guy's saying in a squad car, you should say Mexican for Mexicos, Africa for the Africans, white countries for everybody. And talking about squad cars, cops in squad cars playing Follow the White Rabbit, well, you're in a consensus trance. You're in a fear-based trance. Someone like me doesn't use velvet tactics with police and squad cars. They're too afraid. I did that to prove a point to you. I want you to look at yourself. If you're a lone wolf, steely-eyed lone wolfer, an undercover lover, as I call him, and you're afraid that someone's giving you a talking point to come out, you should have nothing to be afraid of. You should know better than to open up your mouth. That's just common sense. If you're immediately afraid, that's not useful. Fear is when you don't know your environment. Fear happens when you're walking through Yellowstone and you don't know what a grizzly bear is. If you know what a grizzly bear is, you should be prepared. You shouldn't be afraid. You should be concerned, alert, whatever, but you shouldn't be afraid. There's nothing illegal about even an FBI agent or a police officer defending themselves verbally. There's nothing illegal about that, as long as you do it in a respectful way. They can't do anything about it. I did it to prove a point. I geared everything for males and police officers and squad cars to prove a point. The point was about consensus trance. Consensus fear-based trance and how an easy way to evolve a fear-based trance. And a fear-based trance, a consensus trance, destroys reason. It destroys your ability to reason. You can't really think clearly. Immediately, maybe if you got a friend in a government agency and they were to analyze that, I said some big buzzwords that would set them off. I did that intentionally. Most of them are in dynamic conflict models. They immediately jump the gun on things. Well, if you know anything about velvet tactics, you know someone like me, if you're smart, you're going to know that someone smart like me never uses males. No, I don't. I wouldn't use males in a squad car. No way in the world would I use that to take over a government using velvet tactics. In fact, I only use females. Yeah, isn't that funny? White females, when you put the males in a fear-based trance, even in somewhere like China, they got all the Chinese males scared to death. Police officers scared to death. Government agents in China, males scared to death. Next thing you know, the females basically become fearless. Right now in America, if you look at the crime statistics, you would think these white females are naive or crazy. No, they're just fearless. In my opinion, they've always been like that. But for some reason, when you put the males in a fear-based trance, the females become fearless. They're not afraid of anything. And they're very difficult to brainwash. Males are a lot easier to put in a fear-based trance. Females are a lot more difficult to brainwash, and they're a lot more difficult to put in a fear-based trance. You basically have to put white females in a terror squad. You have to do something like that because they don't have any fear. A lot of you think they're just being naive or they're just being crazy. Some of them are. Some of them are just young and naive. Some of them are foolish. Some of them are stupid. But a lot of them are just fearless. They don't have any fear. And just because someone looks at a Vogue magazine is ready to buy a Louis Vuitton, they're very fashionable. Being fashionable and being brainwashed is not the same thing. I'm going to go into that a little bit more, but I did all that with males to prove one point. And I'm always going to try to make a point with you because that's the objective. The point is to go into ethnic conflict models and dynamic conflict models. The point was for me to prove my point. And I want you to look at it yourself. On the other hand, if you're one of those undercover lovers, one of those steely-eyed lone wolfers, and you heard that and you said, you know what? This guy just said taking out Bob Whitaker could cause chaos all across the United States government. You're very very, very creative. You're very, very creative. That is not fear-based thinking. That is very creative thought. But don't take out old Bob. You might get into more than you bargained for yourself. Old Bob's on our side. But that's very creative. Very creative. If you're a woman at CIA agent, you said to yourself, well, there's no way he's going to use... That's right. You're a good analyst. You did your job. I would never use cops, squad cars, stuff like that, but there's nothing wrong. If you're an FBI agent and you want to defend yourself verbally and you say, you know, in your opinion, that's racist. You're just saying it because I'm white. In your opinion, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with stating the obvious. And that's how it works. You state it over and over again. Because, believe it or not, most of these guys in these different movements, and I don't get into movements, I get into struggles. But most of these guys in these movements out there afraid to death of government agents. Government agents are way more afraid of you than you are of them. Believe it or not. Because most of them have all these interdepartmental conflicts. And that's part of the dynamic conflict model. They have all these different ethnic pressures. You know, they're always trying to do all these crazy things in government agencies. Every crazy thing they did to you in public school, they're doing three times more in a government agency and driving these guys up the wall. And every other day they got a new enemies list who's 1,000 names long that's impossible for them to get to all of. And your average police officer on the beat is not as afraid because they actually have, I wouldn't say they have less to do. They have a lot of pressure and whatnot. But, you know, those can be high-stress environments too, depending. But, you know, a lot of police officers are not in, you know, unless you're in an urban area, you're pretty much in a police force that's by and large European. But even then, you know, it can be a little dicey. But there's nothing wrong with defending yourself verbally if you're a fireman, if you're a male. But typically, none of my tactics until it's time to throw what I call throwing in jackrabbits or roll into power would have anything to do with males other than putting you on message, being able to defend yourself. That's the funny thing about it. White females become totally fearless. Most of the crime statistics prove that. It's not that they're naive or stupid. You just think they are. One of the problems for the social engineers, if you do your homework and actually talk to the bigwigs, is they do not cooperate. You just think they're brainwashed. You just think they're cooperating. Sure, someone will marry a ball player making $100 million a year. Sure, in multiracial children, you know, are at, what, 2 or 3 or 4 million. That's nothing. That's nothing. That's a failure. They would have had these numbers where they are in 1978 or 9, they predict. It's a failure. It's the greatest colossal failure in the history of the world. It is epic. Epic failure. Second generation communism will go down as $100 trillion disaster. It is a failure. And it's attempted genocide on record too, which that's a whole nother story. I went into that before and I'm going to go into that again because most people don't understand how profound this stuff is. Most of the white nationalists and whatnot are looking to take power. They don't see the openings. It's very obvious to someone like Bob or someone like me, and I'm going to go into the mantra when I first saw the mantra. But ethnic conflict models are something that everyone in the world has seen, but most people don't know what they're looking at. Every single male on this planet right now is in one way, shape, manner, or form. If you're in an Anglosphere, if you're in Europe to some degree, if you're in Russia, you're in a proper ethnic conflict model. If you're an FBI agent, you're in a dynamic conflict model as well as an ethnic conflict model. In a dynamic conflict model encompasses all of the above. I call it that with diversity and multiculturalism and perversity and everything else. But so let's talk about dynamic conflict models and ethnic conflict models. Let me give you some background so we can have an intelligent conversation about that. What is an ethnic conflict model? An ethnic conflict model is where you basically create controlled conflict to ensure stability among the top elite. It is ancient, I believe, but the modern version was pretty much perfected in where you think of as Northern Ireland. Yes, Northern Ireland, long, long ago, they created an artificial border. They created a border to Northern Ireland. Now, if you're Scotch-Irish, you say, well, that's not an artificial border. We voted for that. Well, I mean, we fought for that. Well, that's true, but that's part of the ethnic conflict model. You imported a bunch of Scots who are ancient cousins. You give them special privileges over the Irish, and then let the conflict ensue. And the modern version was, of course, a lot of controlled conflict. But by creating this conflict in Ireland, they immediately were able to enable stability in London. The idea was, well, we're going to let the Scots and the native Scots and Irish, which are ancient cousins, go at it, and then we're going to subdivide the British Isles. We're going to create a group like the English, and the English, believe it or not, if you're English and you do your homework on your ancient background, well, you're all related. You're all related to a handful of relatives. The Irish, 80% of them have the same father in ancient times, so it's pretty wild stuff. The Scots are going to be no different. They're all ancient cousins. But you have a divide and rule scenario and a brilliant ethnic conflict model, which became very, very dangerous. They actually fired a mortar round at Margaret Thatcher. These things can get out of hand. But by creating this conflict in Northern Ireland, they created stability in London for a long, long time. By creating conflict in Ireland as well as Scotland, they created stability in Britain for a long, long time. It's evil. I don't like it. It is what it is. But the modern versions of the ECM's ethnic conflict models, what you see in LA, is directly related to all the experiments they did in somewhere like Northern Ireland. But you have all these energy flows. The energy flows are between groups, and these groups there's going to be outlets, and they're going to go at it. But when they go at it, they're not taking out anyone important. Every once in a while, they get out of hand. This is going on right now between Palestinians and Israel, believe it or not. That's an ethnic conflict model. They go at it, but in reality, the Palestinians don't take out anyone important, and the Israelis sometimes do. they got the upper hand in the conflict model. For hundreds and hundreds of years, the Scots and basically the people in London, the parties running London, the parties running the crown. The crown is actually a separate legal entity to Britain. The crown's in London, but the crown is a state incorporated. And they had the upper hand for a long, long time in Ireland. That shoe got switched to the other side. A lot of things can happen in an ethnic conflict model. But that is a basic example. You have to understand the Northern Ireland template. You have two sides, one side given special privileges over another. They're allowed to go at it, and as they go at it, they create stability. Now, what's a modern version of that? What have we seen in somewhere like North America? You might remember the LA riots. It doesn't matter whether you're in Russia or China. Maybe you remember the LA riots. When the LA riots happened, they went at it. All these people went at it. But they didn't overturn the government. And a lot of those social engineers, one of the famous ones, I cannot remember his name off the top of my head, but he said, you see, it works. They didn't overturn the government. The Hispanics went after the Koreans, or the blacks and the Koreans went at it, so on and so forth. They went after the whites, but no one overturned the government. It created a stability among the elite. Why all these people are fighting, it creates stability among the elite. Now, many of you are bright, and you're saying, "Well, isn't that like the cultural conflicts?" Well, yes, gay rights, and that's part of the dynamic conflict model. You got gay rights, diversity. You have all these controlled conflicts. The arguments over abortion, nothing ever really gets done. Energy flows; it takes up a lot of energy. It works people into emotion, but it creates stability at the top. It's all big, giant game. But that is a dynamic conflict model. It's all the culture wars, as they call it, and that's true. Look, whatever gets done over this stuff. Well, every once in a while, you get an abortion ruling going one way. You get a gay marriage ruling one way. You get one moving one way. You get one moving the other direction. But it burns a lot of steam. It burns a lot of energy. Nothing gets done. And no one gets killed necessarily, but nothing gets done. But an ethnic conflict model is where you import a bunch of Latinos into California. They go at it with Africans. It creates a whole lot of conflict, and they get affirmative action over the whites and whatever, and why people are arguing, they'll at least just sit there and run everything. Sure. And you don't think they own Mexican elites, you have another thing coming. You think Mexican elites care anything about Mexicans? You have another thing coming. That's not how these people operate. That should be common sense to you now. I don't like it. It's a big game. It's stupid. What you need to understand about the ethnic conflict model in some parts of Western civilization, especially France, especially Anglosphere, especially the United States, is something unprecedented in the history of the world has been done. Someone has ran an ECM against their own founding group. That's never been done successfully. No one knows the exact outcome of this because it is unprecedented in the history of the world. In my previous talk, I said that no close society has ever been brought down through violent conflict. Well, that's true, but there can always be a first time for everything. You don't run, the head of the Cherokees does not bring in non-Cherokees and give them special rights and privileges over his Cherokees and expect not to get his scalp cut off. It doesn't work like that. You're trying to square a circle. You're not going to square a circle. Natural law says it's impossible to square a circle, but you can piss off a circle. You can tick one off. Sure you can. And that's what's been done. And a proper ethnic conflict model, and I'm going to go back into the North American and the Anglosphere ethnic conflict models, but the actual ethnic conflict model and the cultural wars and everything else, you might remember Henry Kissinger wrote a paper. He wrote a paper, I believe his doctoral thesis was on creating a lot of little wars around the planet, and creating a lot of little wars around the planet creates stability for the United States. Well, sometimes it does, sometimes it gets out of hand. This is very flawed stuff. I don't like it, but it is what it is, and you kind of need to be aware of it. Russia right now is running an ethnic conflict model. They're running a proper ethnic conflict model. Vladimir Putin's not discriminating against his Slavs per se. In other words, someone made the call on open borders. He blames someone in London for that. He can't stand open borders. The Sudanese, the Angolans can't stand it either. You see, in Sudan, they're running an ethnic conflict model as well, a communist-style ethnic conflict model. You got to remember, Putin and company are communists. The communists were very brilliant at this stuff. In other words, Vladimir Putin can't control his borders. They're saying we're going to run open borders and we get to run that. We get to make that rule for the world. Now, what in London gets to make the rules for the world? I don't know. We're going to find that out someday. Is it an alien sitting underneath London? I don't know. I don't care. Most likely not. Most likely it's someone powerful that got to make that rule. Whatever it is, it happened because he blamed London. You can look it up. He's ticked off about it. But he says, fine, you want to run an ethnic conflict? You want to run open borders? I can't let the largest landmass in the world flood into Russia. That's going to create problems. But he's a communist. He knows how to run an ECM. He gears up his Slavs. He's running a full-blown ethnic conflict model, and they know what he's doing. Senator John Edwards wrote a 40-page report for the CFR, Council of Foreign Relations, and he says they know exactly what they're doing on all the human rights violations and everything in Russia. That's their game. The game on one side is to run open borders, and then when they do anything, yell human rights and try to bring in their anti-racist stuff and try to demoralize the population. And my next series is going to be on Russia because you guys, no one understands what's going on there, so we're going to try to give you a better analysis. But what a proper ethnic conflict model means in Russia right now is they're not letting anyone take any energy. They're controlling the energy flows. If you go into Russia and you're not a Slav, you can be in trouble pretty quickly. You know, it is kind of deceptive, but he has to play the game. You know, you have the skinheads walking down the street, they beat the living daylights out of someone, the police come, they may arrest the skinheads, they may let them go, then they'll really beat the living daylights out of them and blame the skinheads. That's how that works. The smart skinheads go and join the FSB, whatever, they blend into the system. The white nationalists learn the game, they scratch their head and they say, okay, we got to be nationalist Russia for the Russians, we got to keep that under lid. We have to keep that national socialism, we have to keep that under lid. They're going to squash that. Why? Because Brzezinski, the person that backed Obama, his foreign policy advisor behind the scenes, they and a couple other parties in Anglosphere openly sponsor national socialism in Russia. Why? They're creating a problem. They tried to create a problem. John Edwards at the CFR even openly talked about that. They're trying to create a problem in Russia to create a reaction so they can get a solution. Problem, reaction, solution. I know you guys are saying maybe you listened to that, what is that, InfoWars. Who's this guy in InfoWars? Famous guy now in America. Everyone in the government knows about him. InfoWars. I'm going to actually look it up real quick. Alex Jones, InfoWars. Yeah, I can't believe I forgot about that. But these guys are become very powerful. Guys like on InfoWars, you know, talks about secret societies and fraternities and problem, reaction, solution. Well, let me tell you something about Alex Jones and problem, reaction, solution. He's about 6,000 years too late. And fraternities have been around since the flood. Yeah, get used to that. That's the way it works. You don't like it? Well, some other people don't either, but that's the way it works. You're going to have to learn to live with that. I can only give you the reason problem, reaction, solution is used so much in the history of the world because it works. If we create a problem, you get a reaction, you get to develop a solution. Well, it is what it is. Regret is useless. You just need to understand it. But Russia, they try to do that in Russia, and Russia immediately implemented a proper ethnic conflict model. What that means is if you're a young slob walking around Russia, you can say Russia for the Russians, whatever. They're not going to let you say Russian for white people. You're going to have to act like the old communists and say it, not do it, or say whatever you want, just don't do, or do whatever you want, just don't say it. In China, let me give you an example of this that's clear for everyone to see. In China, they say they're communists. They're not communists at all. No, they're not communists at all. They're a pseudo-national socialist, actually. But they're not communists at all. They're just talking. They're self-determined socialism combined with sort of like a feudal state, a corporate feudal state. But they're not communists at all. They just say it. But that's a communist society. People learn to say things and just do something differently. In the United States, many of you racially, even the liberals, say they're diversity and multiculturalism. They live in all white suburbs. Well, they're in a communist style mentality. In Russia, you kind of got to understand that. And you could say Russia for the Russians. You can run as a Russian. You could do whatever you want. Just don't say it. That means if you're cutting off someone's head underneath a burning swastika for YouTube, and you're cutting off an immigrant's head saying, Hail Hitler, they're going to come arrest you. They're going to give you a couple years in jail. In Anglosphere, in somewhere like Britain, you'd be stuffed and mounted in the local tolerance museum, and we'd be watching specials on you on the Discovery Channel over and over again. That's the difference here. So you have to know that someone tried to prop up National Socialism in Russia, and that didn't work. He's not going to give them that energy. He's not going to give that to them. They're doing whatever they want to do. They're not saying it. They're doing it. But the age of isms is over. I'm going to go into the fifth position. You understand the third position, the opposition to communism and capitalism. Well, I'm going to go into our position, the fifth position, which is even beyond that. If you like the third, you're going to love the fifth position. It's the end of wordism, the end of all isms. How about that? It's not idealistic. It's back to white rabbit thinking. But it's back to the basics. When the water's polluted, you go back to the source. You draw some fresh water. Make sense? Sure. But those are ethnic conflict models. Russia, you got a proper ethnic conflict model. It's garbage. I don't like it. He doesn't like it either, but he can run one. If you're in it, you got to know what you're doing and don't make yourself a target. If you're stupid, you're going to end up in trouble. If you're trying to fight the system, you got to go with the energy flow. You got to learn how the game's played and you got to play it. Now, once you learn that, you can do whatever you want to do. You see, if they're going to flood Russia with a bunch of non-Russians, it creates another energy flow as well. You know, he's not going to square a circle. He's got an 80-90% approval rating, depending on what you're looking at. And I'm going to go into Russia. I'm going to do a whole thing on Russia, on what we see and what we don't see. Obviously, we're not happy until we get our own rabbit hole. And my objective is twofold, by the way. My objective has nothing to do with white nationalism or even idealism. My objective is to make sure you're on a consistent message. Once you're on a consistent message, everything comes after that. Before you swing a samurai sword, you have to first learn to say, hi-ya. We understand that? Simple. It's simple sound. It's a vibration that starts. And everything starts with a sound. Everything starts at a low level of vibration. We have to get on a consistent message. And then my objective is to make sure little white rabbits get themselves a home somewhere across the top of the planet. That's a simple objective for me to have. That's something I agreed to. Anglosphere is $100 trillion in debt in America alone. You won't be able to hold on to your gene pool. I don't care how slick of a white nationalist you think you are. By the time you get set up, a German-Russian axis is going to take your males from you lickety-split. Yes, they are. All else being equal. Is all else going to be equal? No. Race is real and it matters. but I'm just putting something in your head. So my objective is moral. My objective is, it has nothing to do with idealism, has nothing to do with forming a white country here. No, it's not. It's just something very simple. I keep things simple. When you keep things simple, you achieve simple objectives. Now, could you take the whole top of the plane? You could do anything you choose to do because you have all the power. By the time you hear this, there's been all this stuff over China. China runs an ethnic conflict model, too. They learned it from Anglosphere. They got their males in a consensus trance. You know, you got fear of the Americans or something to be worried about. And I'm going to go into briefly the conflict model in America and what the Chinese are worried about in 1 second here. So there's an ethnic conflict model in Anglosphere. The ethnic conflict model in Anglosphere is an inverted ethnic conflict model. It's an ethnic conflict model the likes of which no one's ever seen. We only have a couple examples of anything close to it, and both times resulted in a lot of violent conflict, all revolving around some of the similar groups in charge in Anglosphere, believe it or not. The American Revolution was against the Crown. The Crown is still an organization, is still a legal entity. It's a corporation. It's a piece of land incorporated. It's a financial Vatican of sorts. But that is still in effect. And in the American Revolution, they got themselves into trouble. They ended up running a conflict model that backfired. And they usually do. Because you see, most of you guys think you're victims. And maybe you're a fireman and you lost a job because of affirmative action or whatever, but you're not a victim. You have power. Victims don't have power. Victims have zero power. That's why they're victims. It's in this type of situation you end up in something extraordinary. You have a common sense of oppression among non-victims. In other words, a common sense of oppression historically occurs among victims. But you're not a victim. You have power. And in any type of ethnic conflict model, the first thing you got to know is energy's got to flow. Makes sense? Energy's got to flow. Right now you're listening to me on some website somewhere. Well, energy's got to flow. Your energy, you got ticked off, you got online, you did some research. That's energy flowing. It's flowing right in front of your face. You're typing online, and you look at Stormfront, and you look at the hits, so on and so forth. That energy's flowing. The energy has to flow, but it's never really flown. You know, this stuff's been going on. They created a bottleneck. They created a situation where you're bottling lightning, basically. They created a situation with the hate crime laws. Well, you disengaged. You're not the Latinos going to jail. You're not the Africans. Some of you blow up every once a blue moon. Someone blows up and it's a big deal. You know, someone hangs a noose, so on and so forth. But that's not really energy. That's just a little bit seeping out. Believe me, that's nothing. And that's what some parties are worried about. They're worried about them shutting down the country. You can do that. You can shut down the planet. You have power. Maybe you've seen Siegfried and Roy. Siegfried and Roy walking up and down the stage with a white tiger. I'm going to talk more about this because it's important for you to understand how this works under natural law. Power is like that. That tiger has latent power. He's just allowing them to walk up and down the stage with him. He doesn't have to allow that. He can make history. He can make the news today if he chooses to exercise power. And there's many different types of ways to exercise power. He can just tug on the leash and drag them off the stage. He can rip his head off. White tigers can do that. Why? It's natural law. Natural law is nothing to fool with, believe me. And natural law says that eventually will happen. And that's the only thing we know about white tigers. You're probably never really going to tame one because no one ever has. These accidents happen because it's a white tiger. It's nothing to really fool with. You know, two fellows walking on the stage with a white tiger playing with one may be a dicey situation one morning. and that's how ethnic conflict models work in Western civilization. These people in charge have always tried this, but this one, with the hate crime laws, has done something unimaginable. You have a common sense of oppression among a group of non-victims. You have a bunch of white tigers walking around with Siegfried and Roys, who some of them think they're victims, some of you know you're not. In other words, he has power. He has all the power. When he's going to exercise it, no one really knows. And there's many ways to do that. He could pull a plug. White guys are in all kinds of positions of power. They could do anything they choose to do. Now you're talking about what has damned this. Well, the hate crime laws have damned it. There's another thing called Lone Ranger, and I'm going to go into Lone Ranger. Lone Ranger is my next spiel. Lone Ranger has been isolated. Lone Ranger is starting to be isolated by circumstances. And I'm going to go into that. But what you need to understand about this ethnic conflict model is they've done an impossible. They've tried to square a circle, they've ticked off the circles, and now they've honed a sickle. Honing a sickle is something that goes back to the American Revolution. The American Revolution, a very similar group, a group related to them, tried to do something, and they kept pushing. Well, they ended up, they didn't push, but they honed a sickle. When they pushed, the Sons of Liberty couldn't stop that energy from, they couldn't stop their opponent from doing anything. You can't stop something like the Crown from doing anything, but you can use that energy to your advantage. You can hone a sickle. You see, if you're dealing with energy bottled up, well, eventually that blade just ends up hitting a grindstone. And the more it hits the grindstone, the sharper it gets. And you don't want to be around when it first swings because you don't know what it's going to do. You don't know what's going to happen. So that's what they did. But even the American Revolution, there was fits and starts. Sure, there were. There were a lot of false starts, and they tried to get something going. They tried to release that energy. Finally, the Crown did something crazy. They decided they were going to come and take their guns. Well, the Sons of Liberty apparently knew about that. Most of us, even in America, around the world, they don't know anything about the Sons of Liberty. They know about George Washington, and they know about Thomas Paine. Some of them were revolutionaries. Some of them were just interested in money. They weren't running everything. The Sons of Liberty were the real deal, and they apparently were out for blood, and the blood was flowing behind the scenes. Right now, we watch Fox News, and we don't get half the story unless we get online and do our research, like that Russian war with Georgia. We didn't know anything until we got online. Well, you don't know anything about the American Revolution. I thought I did. I didn't. So I know you don't, but that's the way our history is. But libertists know that they couldn't control the energy. So if you can't control the energy, well, you might as well direct it in a way that's useful to you on down the road. They honed a sickle. Every time the Crown did something, they just made sure it ticked them off more. The Indians, they got the Indians. They ran an ethnic conflict model. It didn't matter how many Indians you killed, the Crown's still in power. Sons of Liberty had no interest in Indians. We'll deal with them later. If we have to defend ourselves, fine, but the Indians don't have any real power. The Indians have power given. Indian power is always power given. That's what I call it, because it goes away as soon as whoever gave it is isolated or thrown out. And that always happens. Why? Because they don't have it under natural law. You don't believe me? Go find an Indian. They don't have any power to this day. They lost it. That's how it works when power is given to you. It always gets taken back. That white tiger decides to pull the leash away, or it grabs you by the throat and rips you in half. That's just natural law. But they sharpened a sickle. And finally, the Sons of Liberty knew they were coming after their guns. Well, if you don't use your musket, you should lose it. And they got the ball rolling, and it rolled very, very well. It worked. That's all we know is it worked. It worked. That's why America's here today. But the people that they went to war with came back. They came back in the Civil War. Maybe I'll go into some of my opinions on this stuff. But they came back and financed both sides. You see, they're all into money. That's their deal. That's what the Crown's about, money. You think that it has something to do with the Queen? Well, it does indirectly. If Queen Elizabeth wants to go to the Crown, she's got to call them 30 minutes or something like that ahead of time. She has to ask permission to even walk through that area. That's how much power. That's a lot of power. But anyways, what you need to know is that someone has honed a sickle, and that energy's got to flow. The Chinese analyze a situation from a totally different direct... they don't look at it from the standpoint of like your average white nationalist said, all hope is lost. They know that. They know that energy's going to flow somewhere. They're worried about what you're going to do with that. What are you going to do with that? Africans, you go through them in 30 minutes. Mexicans, you go through them in a day. What are you going to do with that energy? You know, fear of China, fear of China, fear of China. How many times have you heard that? Fear of China. Fear, 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 fear of China. All over Fox News. Military analysts, fear of China. They're building China up, but China's not as powerful as you think. They've been given everything. They've pretty much built them up. They have all our debt, but they can't do anything with it. They're pretty much peaceful people. They have the longest running border in the history of the world. They have a 4,000-year-old border with India and a couple of other countries there. The longest running border in the world is between China and India. China has not in 4,000 years crossed it militarily. In 4,000 years, they've never invaded India. The Indians have invaded China many times. The Chinese had to build the Great Wall of China, the largest wall the world has ever seen, to keep people out. Does that sound like invaders to you? No. They got to defend themselves. They got to defend their homeland and whatnot. And the Chinese may talk a big game over here, and they may have generals putting out propaganda. But by and large, people only get what you give them. Everyone wants to get something for nothing, and they'll try that. You know, it doesn't matter whether it's your lawyer or the Mexicans or your local Republican politician. People do what they know. But when it comes to the power China has, I mean, one morning, I don't know when, but one morning North Korea will start causing problems, and you'll find out that China is not as powerful as you think. China will immediately have to call in Russia and America. Russia can end North Korea very quickly. It'd be messy, but they could do it. America could end North Korea. It's going to be real messy. China tries to end North Korea, it'd be a dice roll for them. It would cost them everything, and it may. If North Korea blows up, it may cost China everything. Why? Because China, you know, if you have someone that's billed as a superpower to be, but you can't deal with something on your doorstep, well, you're not a superpower, are you? So I want you to watch that. Don't look at what they say, look at what really happens. Someone's been built up in this scenario. Now, what could you do? Problem, reaction, solution. Well, your enemy has built up someone that they're not where they're at. China's very worried about this. What are you going to do with all this energy? Are you going to use that against us? You know, people in certain parts of Western civilization told them to take Siberia or try to take Siberia. China laughed. They said, "You crazy? Russia will hit us with tactical nukes, and those are just their nice weapons. You want us to get hit that? Not only that, you have a history of double-crossing people. That's what they call you, the double-crossers. Your flags all have double crosses on them. Two crosses, because you double-cross people. You're going to hit us, you'll hit us front to back. We own all your debt, and you'll annihilate us. We go, you want to put us in the straits right across from Alaska? You'll crush us." Well, they're not stupid. You got a weapon built there. You could use it on anyone, anywhere. You know, the greatest weapon you have is the will to use a weapon. Right? I'm giving you talking points. These talking points are weapons. But the greatest weapon you have is the will to use it. Western civilization has really not had the will to use a weapon up until someone bottled lightning, until someone honed a sickle. You see, if you know your opponent is going to square a circle, well, you let them hone a sickle. The hate crime laws did something no one has ever seen. It created common sense of oppression among victims who are not victims. You know, the white tiger is not a victim on the stage with Siegfried and Roy. Even if he thinks he is. No. Natural law states otherwise. He may go out kicking and screaming. They may try to put him to sleep. But let me tell you something. Most of you watching America in the last war, you know, some of these scenarios with these lieutenant colonels walking around the Pentagon, let me explain something to you. These perfumed generals aren't what they're built up to be. There were some dicey situations. These lieutenant colonels, those big white tigers, they can choose to exercise a whole lot of power very quickly. They're very connected, and it would be very ugly. But it would be a raw exercise by white tigers. It's just what it is. Now, what happened? They're playing a long-run game. They're doing something else. Whatever. but that's a dice roll. But any time you have energies, it has to flow. If you bottle that energy, it's going to have to flow. Most of you got online simply because someone did something very stupid. They tried to square a circle. They ended up collapsing the whole thing on themselves. That's what's happening right now. And you have a sickle. You have a blade that's been honed to an edge, the likes of which no one's seen. And from a military perspective, it is so juicy. From a revolutionary perspective, it is unprecedented. From a political revolution, it's unprecedented. Because normally my game is me and ism, you and ism. Yeah, that's what revolutionary is typically about. Or velvet revolutionaries, you know, me this talking point, you that talking point. Or me this ism, me a capitalism, you know, whatever. Use your imagination. You know, me orange, you orange. This me a white rabbit, you a white rabbit. Well, that's very primal. That's very organic. That's why this is it's unprecedented stuff. And the reason, the biggest obstacle to us gaining any type of political advantage is Lone Ranger. And I'm going to go into Lone Ranger. Lone Ranger is my next spiel. But I want you to understand ethnic conflict models. I want you to understand bottled lightning, honing a sickle. That's what's been done here. There is no precedence for a common sense of oppression among non-victims. Ireland had a common sense of oppression that permeated from the business class to the doctors, to the lawyers, all the way down to the boy at the horse stable, and that blows up. You can't bottle lightning like that. You're dealing with something with a lot of latent power. They got a big birth rate in America. Next thing you know, Ireland broke free. Well, you couldn't do anything about it. The only thing you do is let it break free and try to buy out the elites. That's what they do. In America, it got out of hand. The Sons of Liberties were on point, and we don't know half about them, but they were on point, and they let it get out of hand, and they put the blade to some people and kicked them out of here permanently up until probably the Civil War when they came back. But I'll go into that. But they blood was flowing the likes of which you wouldn't believe behind the scenes. But they were out for blood. They weren't interested in money. If you read about the American Revolution, you get into George Washington and whatnot, we don't really know a lot. All we know is what we read. It's kind of like watching Fox News and thinking you know everything, or MSNBC. Well, no, you got to get online. You got to do your homework. We can't really do our homework fully. So all we know is what they tell us. Most of those guys were interested in money, but you don't flow blood like that when you're just interested in property or money. You're going to war against some very, very powerful people on this third rock from the sun. And the crown is an institution that is feared, but everything has its time. Everything has its place. Everything has its destiny. And my next talk will be on, we're going to go right into Lone Ranger. One last thing I want to talk about before we go into Lone Ranger is this bottle lightning, this honing a sickle. I'm going to give you a visual representation of what gets created when you do something so silly as to try to square a circle, try to go against natural law, try to create a multiracial, multicultural utopia, scientific racism utopia, and only white children's countries. Well, you create something like a Mr. Metzger, Mr. Metzger at resist.com, or maybe it's lonewolf.com. I don't know what his website is, but you can look him up, Tom Metzger. Every intelligence agency in the world knows about him. Yes, everyone in the world knows about him. Because they are exactly what someone like China would point to when it comes to bottling lightning. This guy was just an average Republican, just a normal white guy, normal working class white guy, just average Joe. He only concerned with the little white rabbits. He was concerned with their future and how the country is run in America. And the next thing you know, through harassment, through conditions, through whatever, he's a violent revolutionary. He espouses a self-structure philosophy and actually has manuals, military manuals and whatnot, very good military manuals, surviving, evading, so on and so forth on his website, full of racialist type of information. He's been around a long time. But he's an example of what happens, what you create when you bottle lightning, when you hone a sickle. You see, under normal conditions, Mr. Metzger wouldn't be in his circumstances. He's just a Republican, and I want to say he was a Baptist or maybe a Catholic, but I know he was a Christian. He's an average Joe. But you harass someone whose only concern is for white rabbits. You want them to have a home, whatever. In other words, if so-called Western civilization were to move to, let's say, Russia, all little white rabbits move to Russia, well, he'd get on a plane and go. He's not going to shoot anybody. I don't think he's ever committed a violent act. Some people may be attached to him, but I don't think he's ever set off a bomb. In fact, I know he hasn't set off a bomb or anything like that. Not that he couldn't. I mean, you go from something like Mr. Metzger at a local Republican convention, just at his local Baptist church, or maybe his local Catholic parish. I don't know his religion, or lack thereof. And next thing you know, he's might is right. It takes a lot to do that under natural law. You have to bottle lightning. You have to hone a sickle. You have to do the impossible. And no one knows where that could go. But my point is, he's just average Joe. If Western civilization moved to Russia, he'd get on a plane, he'd go learn Russian, he'd go be with little white rabbits there. He'd say, okay, well, Western civilization has been expanding for hundreds of years. Now it's consolidating. I can't control that. But they got a home. It's too bad, so sad. He's not necessarily someone interested in firing a bullet. But I'm trying to explain to you what you create when you do something as crazy as try to bottle lightning or hone. You end up trying to square a circle, but you don't. You can't square a circle. You just took a little white rabbit and turned him into a white tiger, and he's ticked off. You ticked off the circles. But under normal conditions, they're not in that mindset. He's not interested in that, but he's not the nice little lovable guy he was when at 14. He's been harassed to death just because he's concerned about him. And maybe he didn't play the game correctly. Maybe he was a little rough. Maybe, but whatever. You do what you know. When you know better, you do better. But he prescribes a wide sky philosophy, what they call the lone wolfers. There are several groups famous for that in North America. But he's one of them around the world. Why? Because it works. That type of stuff works. Cell structure works. That's why people do it. It's been around thousands of years, actually, but it works. It just does. But he's what you do when you have a common sense of oppression created among a group that aren't victims. He's not a victim. He could choose to exercise power in a variety of different ways. You know, he went from terrible Tommy at the local Republican convention to, where's my C4? Where's my C4? That's funny stuff. He should put that on MP3 and sell it. Where's my C4? Intelligence agents around the world hear that and fall on the ground laughing, but it's serious stuff. What are you going to do with something like that? That energy is going to flow eventually. You got to head that off. Even if you were to come to power in a political situation, you know, Mexican may have to, the Europeans running Mexico may have to fire a missile into Texas or something to get rid of that energy. You may have to start a war. That's what the Chinese are worried about. You know, what are you going to do with that? That's got to go somewhere. It's going to go somewhere. That's the only thing you know. I guess you could disengage it, and next thing you know, so-called Western civilization shifts, and he's going to get on a plane and leave without shooting anybody. But I'm giving you an example of someone you can visually read about that under normal conditions, white rabbits are white rabbits. They're not white tigers. They're not interested in running around grabbing people, ripping their heads off. But when you hone a sickle, when you try to bottle lightning, when you try to square a circle, you go against natural law, and eventually you're going to create a wild scenario. But that's something very visual you can see, you can do your homework on. Every intelligence agency on the planet knows about Mr. Metzger. Why? Because he's a visual example of what I just laid out for you. He's bottled lightning. Not that he has any power himself. You can go pick him up, you can shoot him, whatever. But the question would remain to someone like me, how many of those are there? Well, you don't know, do you? I don't. No one does. I don't care what they say. They don't. He doesn't. If you advocate a wide sky scenario, walking into even a velvet revolution, I don't know who my cooperatives are going to be. I don't need to know that. I know the masses are asses. I know a handful will do it, and that's fine. Some little girl's going to wink and nod and get my job done. Believe it or not, that's how it works. It works. Why? I don't do what doesn't work. But that, you know, talking points, buzzwords, putting someone on point, it just, this stuff works. Wise guy stuff always works. What you don't see can kill you politically. Well, lone wolfer stuff works simply because you don't know. I mean, you could have a scenario in North America or even somewhere like Canada where two lone wolves sitting next to each other at the local power station decide to pull a plug, figure out they're both lone wolfers. Well, steely-eyed lone wolfers wink and nod. Next thing you know, pull the plug and shut down all of Canada. Well, white tiger, you know, they turn into white tigers. They go from little white rabbits to white tigers and just accidentally do something. People are worried about that. That's something to be worried about, even if they're on your side. They're worried about that. But this is something I want you to look into, because I'm trying to give you an idea of what other people around the world are looking at. You're only looking to the world through your perspective, and that's fine. That's your deal. I mean, you're a human being. That's what, you're just a white rabbit. You're trying to figure out what's going on. But you create a Tommy. You create a terrible Tommy from just a little Tommy Metzger. You create pretty, you're in that type of environment. You're in an unquantifiable scenario. Again, you haven't squared a circle. Squaring a circle is impossible. You took a little white rabbit and turned him into a white tiger. He's got his Godzilla out. You know, Godzilla's our green goddess. She's all our weapons, all our crazy stuff we do that no one can explain, all our technology. He can put Godzilla on point. You don't know what he could do. Who knows? I don't know. The first thing I would do if I were a lieutenant colonel is I'd go cut a deal with him, because you just don't know. You don't want him backdooring you. You know, even if you were doing a violent revolution, he doesn't even know. That's the problem with when you get into wide sky scenarios. You don't know anything. And it's funny how this stuff works. You don't know it until it's over with. In velvet scenarios, this stuff is comedy when it starts working. But when you start talking about a situation of a common sense of oppression among a group of non-victims, a bunch of little white rabbits who are now white tigers walking around Siegfried and Roy, you don't know when they're going to snap and drag everyone off the stage or do whatever they choose to do. I'm not the war of the flea, the war of the me variety. I'm a velvet deal, because even any type of revolution, violent or otherwise, before you swing a samurai sword, you have to say hi-ya. You have to be on the consistent set of talking points. That's what common sense was about. Thomas Paine's book in the American Revolution. That's what we do. It doesn't matter. My tactics transform to any normal society anywhere in the world. There's always a mini revolution going on at your local corporation, at your local church. Sure. My tactics are usable in any situation. They're just nonviolent, which means they're much more dynamic. They're useful going into any type of revolutionary or any normal functioning society. Believe it or not, I'm going to teach you all kinds of neat stuff. But most of it involves the legwork. Always involves I use Aryan girl rabbits. Yes, I use generally white women at control points. But I'm going to go into some funny stuff. But I'm going to talk about Lone Ranger next. I wanted to cover that because that's a visual example, something you can see today. I want you looking at things today and trying to analyze things correctly. I want you to don't think in terms of all hope is lost or I'm a victim, because you're not a victim. You're nowhere close to a victim. Victims don't have any power. You have power, therefore you're not a victim. We must have a consistent thought process in motion. And that if you have a consistent thought process in motion, well, your ability to reason is always there. You can square up and analyze things. You know, if it's the end of the world, it's the end of the world. You can't control that, but you can control what you do and how you prepare and whatever. But I'm the velvet variety. Nothing I do is illegal, and that's why we're so dangerous. Yeah, nothing, you know, the reason secret society type stuff works, and that's what velvet techniques are, is simply because it's unstoppable. Why? Because it's not illegal. It's not illegal for a network to take over a corporation. It's insidious. They hate it. They fear it more than neutron bombs, but it's not illegal. It's not illegal for the neocons to take over the Republican Party. It's not illegal for a handful of Hebrews or Aryan helpers to hijack the Republican Party. It's insidious. But it's not illegal. It's not illegal to take it back. Those are tactics I do. It's not illegal for problem, reaction, solution, and to throw a jack in. I'm going to go into that. You know, you need to always analyze any power situation in Western civilization from white females at latent positions of power. I'm going to go into that. I'm going to go into that maybe in after I go into Russia. But let's go into Lone Ranger now. Lone Ranger, Lone Ranger, Lone Ranger. Lone Ranger has been a problem your whole entire life. Lone Ranger has sold you out more times than anything in the history of the world. Lone Ranger are white males generally that look like us, and sometimes females. A lot of times females, but generally white males who look like us, who don't do what's good for us. Why? Well, true information doesn't mean anything to them. They're too demoralized. The self-hating white baby boomers, I call them the Schwabies. They are dangerous. They are mentally disturbed. Some of the most mentally disturbed ones I know of are the so-called Republicans, the so-called conservatives. They're not conservative at all. They're communists. Their operation tactics are communists. Their family background are connected to communists. And I'm not talking about the neocons. I'm talking about household names that you think are your friends. They're not. They'll cut your heads off. Literally. They'll put you in pitched battles with the Bolshevik style, because that's what they are. That's what hijacked your party. Now, can they be gotten out of there? Sure. But John McCain was a Lone Ranger. He was a very dangerous thing. To me, it was very, very dangerous. Or you know, my information was, or he's the greatest actor in the history of the world. You take your shot. Most of you look at appearances. Well, John McCain can have power because he's a white rabbit. Putting someone like him in is dicey, because everything he does is going to be pretty much similar to Obama, except we can't do anything about it because nothing's racial. If you get Obama in there, everything he does, every sentence he speaks, every appointment he makes to the Judiciary Committee or any government agency, or heaven forbid a Supreme Court, I don't know when you're going to hear this, but he's going to be making appointments, everything's going to be racial. That's good. That's good. I know what you old conservatives look at the past. They can't stand seeing a mulatto as president. Well, that happened way before I was born. You know, in 1965, there was an Immigration Act. You have a country, a republic, not a democracy, a republic founded to maintain posterity for us and our posterity. Posterity, some say, was capitalized in the original documents. I don't know that. But posterity means kith or kin. Posterity means that the only people that can get citizenship are Europeans. That's why the Statue of Liberty points back to Europe. Yeah, it doesn't point to Africa, it doesn't point to Mecca, it points to Europe. That's where you're from. When you give up posterity, whether it be without a vote, whether you get hoodwinked, whether the people behind the Hart-Celler Act, that people that finance that, and the other things all over Western civilization, or the people, maybe they had Teddy Kennedy on the hook, who knows? Someone does know, though. But all you know is you lost your country right there, because if it comes to a vote, they're going to outbreed you. The good news is, white sharks don't outbreed seals. They don't have to. That's natural law. Yeah, I mean, I don't deal in voting politics, so I don't worry about voting. You think voting works? Well, it does sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't. But you lost that before I was born, so I don't get worried about the past. The regret is useless to me. Two things that are always useless to Horace is the past. The past deals in regret. I can't change the 50s. You're never going to see the 1950s in. That may be good news. That may be the best news you ever heard. 2050 may be fantastic for us. But right now, what's in front of me is not a bad thing at all. Obama got elected. Okay, wonderful. How can I use that to my advantage? Well, this isolates Lone Ranger. Lone Ranger's done. See, Lone Ranger can exist on a bus ride. Let's say you're on a bus ride out in the suburbs. You got all kinds of Lone Rangers. You got Lone Rangers for days on that bus. Why, you got a handful of token Africans, a handful of token Asians. You got Lone Rangers for days. A Lone Ranger doesn't exist on the bus with me. Right now, you're at 10% of the planet. Everything's bearing down on leaders of so-called Western civilization. Why? Well, there's no such thing as Lone Ranger. Well, Lone Ranger has to go, and you got all these people in power that they're stuck with that true information doesn't mean anything to. So it becomes funny for someone like me to watch. Once you know how this stuff works, it becomes hilarious. Obama makes everything racial overnight. That's wonderful. You might as well get honest. One morning, I got hurt very, very badly. Some of you, many conservatives were like this for years and they didn't realize it. Many liberals were like this for years and they didn't realize it. There's good people that are upset over some of this stuff on the left and the right. But I'm not idealistic, so I'm on neither. I'm a fifth position. But I'll explain that to you as well. But one morning I got hurt very, very badly. I did not realize how bad I was hurt until I saw the blood, until I saw people's faces. And I had to get fixed ASAP, ASAP. Maybe some of you have been cutting in the kitchen, or maybe you're in the military and you got hurt bad. You didn't realize how bad you were cut or how bad you were hurt until you saw someone's face. Well, you've been in that state for a long, long time. The good news is, John McCain can have a great deal of power. He's a white rabbit. That's why they're so dangerous to us. The Hebrews that sell us out, that look like us, that hate us, basically are dangerous because they look like us. That's all. They can have some power for a while, but natural law, Lone Ranger gets isolated. At 10% of the bus, he cannot exist under natural law. By the way, at 10% of the bus in a tribal world, and the world is very tribal. Every tribe has its own website. Every tribe wants its own territory. That's good. Lone Ranger can't exist in a tribal world, nor can market-dominant minorities. The premier market-dominant minority on the planet are Hebrews, the Jews. They can't exist in a tribal world. The greatest trend going now is the trend against market-dominant minorities. It happened when Suharto came to power, and I want to say he came to power in Indonesia in 1998. Don't quote me on that, but he came to power, and that marked the end for market-dominant minorities. The Chinese have been taking losses all over Southeast Asia, all the way to Philippines. Yeah, they got affirmative action against the Chinese in the Philippines. They're taking losses. Market-dominant minorities are taking losses. The Chinese took a lot more losses than the Europeans in South America. The Europeans in South America have been taking losses, sure. Market-dominant minorities do not do well in tribal worlds. The Hebrews are taking heat. The oligarchs, a lot of oligarchs were Hebrew. That's a market-dominant minority. The oligarchs in Russia got clobbered. They can't exist under natural law anymore. They got to mind their own matters. They got to work a different game. On the bus, on a bus in a ghetto, it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. There's no such thing. And heaven forbid there be a lot of Muslims on the bus, because there's no such thing. And Hebrews and Muslims don't mix. Maybe you just got up. Maybe you just woke up today. But that's the way it's working. And that's the way it's always going to work. Yeah, I know they're trying to retool it. They're trying to get the Ottoman Turk thing going. And they're trying to have the Turks redo Islam. Well, you're way late. that ain't never going to happen. Other parties aren't going to allow you to do that. They're going to hand you your head way before. But but that's a nice try. It's a little bit too late. You should have done that 50 years ago. Someone was way ahead of you on that one. Way ahead. But Lone Ranger doesn't exist anymore. He doesn't exist under natural law. He's being isolated by the environment. He's being isolated because you're on the bus with me in the ghetto, basically. You're at 10% of the bus spread out over the whole top of the planet. The biggest problem in the world is that Europeans don't have any effective leadership outside of Russia, and they don't have any racial leadership at all outside of Russia. And Russia, it's Russia for the Russians. Everyone on the world planet knows what it means, except white nationals. White nationalists don't get that for some reason. Yeah, they think, you know, they're waiting for torchlight parades there or something. That ain't the way it works now. Although, who knows? Who knows what could happen? But Russia's the next segment. Yes, Lone Ranger has been fully isolated. And I'm going to go through a scenario with some talking points on how to shove them out. You see, you got a golden opportunity to keep shoving them out. The conditions say Lone Ranger can no longer exist under natural law. They're being shoved out every day. But what you have to do is verbally nudge them sometimes. We do this with talking points, and you can do this all over the world with the talking point I'm going to give you. This isn't up there because this is a gift. Someone attached to Bob came up with this, and this is just pointing out the obvious. I will give you a real scenario. I was at a, let's say it was a function of some type. And at that function, everyone was talking about what they're always talking about, right? Politics, what have you. Half the people there will love Obama, half the people there will hate him. There seems to be not an in-between, depending on what type of crowd you're in. I was asked what I thought. As usual, people that know me take a deep breath. I stated the obvious. I tried out a new talking point. I said, well, you know, Africans have 50-plus countries on the planet. They have half the world's natural resources. Africans have the largest population the world has ever seen, and Africans have the greatest piece of farmland the world has ever known, Africa. They live with us as a minority, and we are a minority. There's not much more I could do for them other than make you president. Jaws dropped. You would have thought I just hit him with a landmine. I just hung a landmine from one of the light fixtures above. You would have thought I just let loose grenades. There is no response to that. That's devastating. When Lone Ranger was talking and Lone Rangers were yapping about Obama, I just leveled them to the ground. I pointed out the obvious. I didn't say anything nasty. There's no epithets in there, but it's way more violent than the N-word. The N-word is a waste of time. It doesn't do anything for me. Epithets don't do anything. Doing what I just did consistently is ruthless. It's way more violent than knives. If John McCain was in there, I couldn't do that. With Obama in there, I can own the show. Someone piped up and said, well, in your opinion, that's racist. You're just saying that because I'm white. Anti-racism is a code word for anti-white. Well, sure it is. No one's flooding Mexico with non-Mexicans and giving them affirmative action, special rights and privileges and free health care. No one's flooding Africa with non-Africans and giving them affirmative action, special rights and privileges and free health care. No one's flooding Asia with non-Asians and giving them affirmative action, special rights and privileges and free health care. Only white countries are doing this. Only white leaders are doing this. And only self-hating white animals like you think this is wonderful. It's genocide. Well, it's not racist. In your opinion, it's racist. You're just saying that because I'm white. It's a na-na-na-na-na. It doesn't have anything to do with the economy? Sure it does. China right now is 91% Chinese, according to the CIA. America in 1965 was 89% European. America tried to become non-European. The 1965 Immigration Act did that. America tried to become non-European. America's collapsed. America's $100 trillion in debt. America's not coming back because of that. If China tried to make itself non-Chinese, what do you think would happen? What do you think would happen to their manufacturing? I did that briefly. I just did what I just did right there. It all rolls together. All these talking points roll together. Well, there's a race problem. Well, of course there's a race problem. Everyone says there's a race problem. There's a race problem. That race problem is going to be solved in white countries and only white countries. Flood themselves with non-Europeans and give them special rights and privileges and integrate, assimilate, and breed themselves out of existence. Your definition of race problem, the solution to race problem is simply genocide under international law. There are social constructs. There are no social constructs under international law. Just ask Saddam Hussein. You see, I'm giving you many different directions to go with that, but that's a real-life scenario. I did that. Generally speaking, when you lay a landmine like that, they're going to get off the subject pretty quickly. That's a humiliation technique. I humiliated them. You see, they can't exist anymore. I just basically, their whole entire life flashed in front of them. They just realized that everything they've done for these people, nothing's worked. They have to support them forever. It's just devastating emotionally. It's devastating for people. That's your job. It moves him out of the way. Anything that shuts him down and shuts his mouth and lets us speak for ourselves is fine because we have power. Lone Ranger can have power because he's white. Obama cannot have power. No, he doesn't have any power. Who would have power in the White House? Who are they afraid of? Well, who's the female rabbit at the latent position? Hillary. Sure. We told Hillary to give that talking point. Yeah. Some people attached to us told us. So, you know, step up and tell Obama, you know, you have 50 plus countries on the planet. Africans have 50 plus countries on the planet. Africans have half the world's natural resources. Africans have the largest population the world has ever seen. And you have the greatest piece of farmland the world has ever known. You live with us as a minority. We are a minority. There's not much more we can do for you. Making you president is a waste of time. She could have slammed him. She could have slammed him to the ground. She could have taken all the male Republican votes and won. She could do anything she wants to. She could do that tomorrow morning and throw him out. He has no recourse. He has no recourse. He has no real power. Where's he going to go? So if he's there, he's there for a tool to someone else because he cannot have power under national law. That's all I'll say about the situation. You need to understand that. Power given isn't just that. He knows that. The worst time I've ever had in this world was dealing with a woman that adopted non-European babies, a John McCain, a female version, a Lone Ranger S. They are dangerous. They're mentally unstable. The best time I ever had in this planet, the easiest time I ever had, was with the mulatto. They, deep down inside, know way more about race than a John McCain ever could hope to. It's tragic. They're tragic, but they're not bad people. Obama's probably not a bad, he was flaky, whatever, dicey, he's not even, but he's, you know, you'd assume he's owned. He's owned. He's not owned by who you think he's owned. He's owned, though. But that's the way this works. Yeah, you lost your country, okay, whatever. You can't do anything about that. Use it to your advantage. But you can annihilate Lone Ranger. You can kill him. Verbally. What I did was way more violent than anything you ever thought of doing. It was more violent than pounding them in the dirt. Sure it is. Because it's more devastating. If you were to hit him, he'd go and sue you, and he'd forget about it and think he did nothing wrong. I just did something they will never forget in their lives. In fact, 2 days later, someone there just couldn't believe that. The jaws were dropped. That was the most devastating thing they'd ever seen. But that's what we do. That's what we get paid to do. It's practical politics. It's non-voting politics. Those are power plays verbally. You know, the velvet techniques cannot be protected against. You cannot protect against that. You cannot protect against someone like Putin when he comes to power under a cayenne Pokemon. That's how he came to power. That's what I call it. I'm going to explain that to you in the next tape. It's cool stuff, but you cannot stop velvet techniques. You cannot stop it. It is not illegal, but it's more feared than Tim McVeigh. Tim McVeigh can only strengthen the system at a certain point in time. You know, you never know when that may work for him, but I'm just giving you an example. I'm giving you a game you can play right now, tomorrow morning, right now, walking into your store, right now, walking into your work. You may have to be careful saying it, but I don't think, there's no country you can't say that in. There's nothing illegal about what you're saying. It's not nice. It gives them fits. Because it is geared. You see how perfectly that's geared? You can say that in Britain. You can say that in Russia. You can say that anywhere. It's not illegal. It is more ruthless. It is violent. It is a tearjerker. It's a showstopper. But that's what we give you. That's what I'm here to do. You do that, any white nationalist do something like that on tilt, you'll be a superstar. You do that on TV or something. A senator does something, it's just devastating stuff. It's devastating. Sure, it causes problems. You just stay on message. Your job isn't to argue. Your job is to make a point. Make it over and over and over again. They'll get off subject. They don't want you making that point. Yeah, they don't want you making that point. They did not want to hear any more of that. They wanted to talk about baseball. They don't want to talk about politics anymore because I made my point. My job is not to convince anyone. Well, I don't have to do that. Nature does that. My job is to take tactical advantages and take a tactical command and use it to my advantage by any means necessary politically. But it all starts with a vibration. Before you swing a samurai sword, you have to say hi-ya. In the seals, they say hoorah and all that kind of stuff. Well, it's something to it. Sound is everything. Sound is everything. Sound is deadly. Maybe you keep listening to this over and over again because what I'm doing you've never heard before. That's good. Well, I'm not wasting your time. I'm giving you useful stuff. I'm giving you something you can do. I'm giving you how the game's working right now. You're prepared for, basketball. Okay, fine. Well, I'm preparing you for baseball. This stuff works in any society anywhere. The tactics I'm going to introduce you to will work 10,000 years from now, as long as human nature doesn't change. And we know that, right? Race is real and it matters. But that's the end of this deal. This is the end of another episode of Follow the White Rabbit. Follow the White Rabbit, again, is a game that will teach you practical politics. Practical politics is practical because it is non-voting, which makes it very, very practical. Conventional politics is voting politics or rule-based politics. And the ultimate, of course, is full-spectrum practical politics, engaging and taking down an opponent, a system, by any means necessary, within the rules, within the law, but never breaking them. And this is the end of another episode of Follow the White Rabbit. Thank you for listening.